Blog Talk Radio.
Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. For your pleasure and delight tonight, joining me after a long, long vacation is one of the craziest people I've ever known in my entire life, Deb Dahmer. And why I keep doing this to myself, I do not know. But welcome to the show, Deb.
Hey, thank you, Marty. That
you
was
missed
a good
me. You
intro, okay?
Yeah. Well, it's not like people don't know who you are. Well, anyway, the topic of our show tonight, of course, is going to be these bills that are rolling around down there in Florida. And Deb has all of them listed in the promo. And these are about nursing homes, tightening down on them, making them deliver the care they are supposed to. Also about this little thing they have running down there, this little scam there in Florida, where if you get a settlement, like for punishment, if settlement, what do they call that?
Punitive damage.
Punitive damage, yes. Okay. They're taking the people's money that was awarded to them in punitive damages and making them give as much as half, if not more of it, to this nursing home association so that they can improve themselves. And they did. They're all driving Lexus, and they're driving kinds of fancy vehicles and living nice houses. They're doing good. Well, anyway, right before we get to them, I wanted to talk about a related topic. Number one, tonight is our 1,000th broadcast on TLS
Radio.
Right.
Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations. Yes.
And me and the crazy Ms. Dahmer will be doing a show tomorrow evening to celebrate that, because she was a big part of that. That's why
Thank
I'm going to let
Marty.
Her on. Otherwise, I'd just do, you know. But anyway.
So it's throw me to the curb.
Yeah. Well, you were curbed a long time ago, girl. Anyway. But in the same vein that of our topic this evening, which is nursing home care and what happens beyond that. Up here in Minnesota 2 days ago, the Star Tribune, front page, top headline, audit, state's elder care has failed, you think? And it names off here, case management system has numerous deficiencies, high staff turnover, few written policies, and a lack of confidence in senior leadership reflect the dysfunctional office culture. Inadequate quality controls have resulted in triage and investigation practices that do not always meet standards. It does not inform vulnerable adults or their legal representatives whether providers have reported suspected maltreatment. It says in the case files we reviewed, OHFC investigators did not always interview key individuals, including the vulnerable audit involved in the alleged incidents. This is a 122-page report, which I will be going through over the next 3 or 4 days, and we'll get a report up on it. But mimicking that, and you know, is what's taking place down in Florida that Debbie Dahmer has been fighting, she and her family. And so, Debbie, I'm going to let you take it from here and bring Carol on air, and you two go at it.
Okay. We stick together, right, Carol?
Right. We're certainly on the same page.
There you go.
But everyone out there, thank you for tuning in tonight. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I have been with Marty for, over 4 years as her host. on Voices Caring for Animals on TS Radio, and also co-hosting with her before on elder abuse, guardianship abuse, nursing home neglect and abuse, and it was such an honor to be her host and still out there advocate. She's made a huge monster advocate out of me. Thank you, Marty.
Yeah.
And I don't stop. And there's been some confusion on throughout the groups. And thank you, animal advocates out there, that's sharing this show promo tonight, because we do need your help out there, you know, teamwork, multitask, and help out the elderly, because we're all going to become the elderly all in good time, if God's willing. And it's not a pretty picture out there. So these nursing home residents and patients need our help now. And if you can, please step up to the plate and take action. Call your state representatives. And I'm going to give you a couple numbers here for everybody. If all these shows are archived, so you can go back and listen to them every time, you know, later on, or 365 days a year. But there is a number here to contact your senator or your representative, area code 202-224-3121. And you press 1 for your senator and press 2 for your representative. Put your zip code in, and you will reach them. You can call 24/7, 7 days a week, okay? So please get involved and stay involved, because we do need positive changes made here. And also the White House phone number. Leave a message for President Donald Trump. I have done 5 messages this week on different concerns here. 202-456-1111. And we together we can all make a difference. And we got to at least try, you know, stand up for each other and help each other out, because the children, the animals, the elderly, they're all voiceless, helpless, defenseless, and innocent. So if we don't stand up for them, they don't have a chance to carry on, okay? So please, everybody, and this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. And if you want to follow the PPJ Gazette Online, go to the right-hand column, and under bulk stats, press follow. Every time there's a new article or a broadcast, it will be delivered to your primary email. Also, on Blog Talk Radio, right across from Marty's names, press follow. You can press that, and when there's a new broadcast coming from TS Radio, it will be delivered right to your primary email. So, and you can share on the left side of the screen to Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google Plus, I mean, all of them, so that, or the crosses, all of them. But I want to go ahead and introduce Carol Herman. She is such a wonderful, wonderful person. She's out there working very hard. She has supported this family so much in fighting what we believe in is justice. And she is the founder and president of Foundation Aiding the Elderly. And if everybody would please go check their website out, and also on their Facebook page, press like and share. They got 550 likes and counting. Let's get that increase, and let the elderly know we do care about them, okay? And I want to bring you on board, Carol Herman. How are
Great.
You doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine, and thank you for having me on the show again. I know you have a good audience and get the message out. And I know that Marty talked about the bills in Florida, so if you don't mind, I'd like to start with that.
Yes,
and talk
right
about
ahead.
What's going on in Florida. And Debbie, I got involved with the Dahmer family quite a few years ago, and when they finally settled their lawsuit that they fought for over almost 7 years, it was discovered that the state of Florida has a fund that if there is a punitive damage award in a lawsuit in Florida, and the jury awards punitive damages, that 50% of those that award goes to the state of Florida. Nobody knew about this law because it was established in 2001, and the Dahmer case was the first case in Florida where a jury awarded the Dahmer family punitive damages because of what happened to Debbie's dad, Chief Whitehorse, George Dahmer.
Wow.
I mean, why else? Sorry.
That's a cute one, Carol.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Friday night and I'm tired.
Everybody's been slammed and working. I don't
know. Hey, really. So that is how working with Debbie, and after that award came out, we found out about this. So Debbie and I have done a lot of work together, done research, found out that this, and I'd like to just kind of discuss the fund shortly, you know, quickly. Every single state has this fund. And what fund, what monies go into this fund are from when the Center for Medicare, when they sanction a facility, a nursing home anywhere in the country, and they fine them, you know, let's hypothetically say $1,000. The money goes to the Center for Medicare, but whatever state that that infraction took place in, a portion of that $1,000, I don't know what, I'm not sure exactly what it is, I think it's around 10%, goes to the state that where the infraction was. So in the, say in the Dahmer case, we'll use him as an example. The citation was $1,000. And they got a, they did get cited through Medicare. So $10 goes into the fund in Florida. Every single state has this. And every
Carol,
single state.
Excuse me. You mean up here in Minnesota, this racket is running up here too?
Oh, it's this is nationwide. No, I'm not talking punitive damages. I'm not talking punitive damages.
Right.
We haven't found any state that has a law that says if a private citizen takes legal action and files a lawsuit and wins and the jury awards punitive damages, and not every case has punitive damages. You have to prove that, you know, you have to prove it. And punitive damages, the reason why the jury gives that is to really slap their hands. Don't do that again. That's why it's called punitive damages. We don't know of any other state in the union that has that except Florida. What I'm talking about, that every state has this fund that when they, when you violate a federal law, a portion of the sanction, which is a monetary sanction, goes back to the state where the infraction happened. So if you get cited in California and Medicare collects money on a fine, a portion of that money goes to California. And it's supposed to be used for the benefit of the nursing home patient. What we have found, well, we'll hone in on Florida. We, Debbie and I, did a lot of research. We found out that this fund, and what the nursing homes do is they apply for a grant. And, you know, to use the funds supposedly for the betterment of the nursing home patient. Well, we found that the funds that were being released were not for the benefit of the nursing home patient. They were capital improvements, like fixing the patio, popcorn machine. It wasn't to increase certain nursing hours. It wasn't to provide better food for the patient. It all appears to be benefits to the property owners of the nursing home as capital improvement. Well, that is, to me, I think it's illegal. I think that's an illegal action. So we started this mission to find out who wrote the law, who passed the law, and how we were going to repeal it. So Debbie and I did a lot of work for about a year and a half. Isn't that right, Debbie? About a year and a half.
Yes.
We got
a
couple of assemblywomen, a couple senators. I contacted the Trial Lawyers Association of Florida. We got their lobbyists behind us. We got a pretty good movement to repeal that law. I think it's unfair. It's almost unconstitutional to have a private citizen have a jury verdict and then have to pay the state. I mean, that's unheard of. So it got policies were, you know, Senate bills, assembly bills were written to do that, and it died. It died in the legislature in Florida.
It is disgusting.
It died. So we're going to try again.
How could they be against helping, improve nursing homes, and the residents? And any business out there always has changes to improve their business. Or, all the places I ever worked in my life, they've always brought meetings together. How can we improve, this and
that?
There's
but
any
this,
problems.
And those kind of businesses are – you own a company that doesn't take federal monies or state monies. These are the nursing home industry, as we all know, operates on federal and state nursing home, federal and state monies, Medicare, Medicaid. So it's really our dollars, because almost 90% of all the money that it comes into nursing homes comes from Medicare, Medicaid. So these are you know, these are tax dollars that are going into the nursing home operators' pockets and providing shoddy care, to say the least. So we worked on that bill. It didn't go anywhere. It got killed, I believe, in the budget. There were so many people we were dealing with, but it did. It died. It's no longer up for – it's not going to pass, but we're going to try it again, and we're going to try it every year. Debbie and I are going to try it every year until it does pass, because it's and I'm working on some other things to see whether or not that's an illegal action against the our constitutional rights to a jury by trial, and why should the state take our money?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. So that's what's going on. But in every state in the country, there is that fund. The only one, though, that has it's, but it's money that's collected for infractions of the law. We've found nothing in any other state that is so outrageous as it is in Florida, that there's a law there. If you have a jury trial and you take civil action, that 50% of that punitive money goes to the state of Florida. That is unheard of.
And the jury couldn't be informed of it either.
No,
right?
The jury didn't know about it. And
no.
Nobody knew about it until after they awarded the damages to the Dahmer family.
Right.
And all of a sudden, half the money was gone. And we're saying, well, wait a minute, what happened to the money? Well, there's this law in Florida from 2001 that on punitive damages. So I started calling all these lawyers in Florida that I knew, and the trial lawyers. There had never been a punitive damage award until the Dahmer case.
Just for my mother, and she's listening out to Mom, I'm going to bring you on later, and anybody wants any questions or comments for the guest, Carol Herman, you can call 917-388-4520, press 1 to speak, and I'll repeat that, 917-388-4520, press 1 to speak. You can also listen to this show on every week. Marty does have a show. And just and keep passing along and tell everyone, because we need that. We need that support. And, Carol, that punitive damages limitations is a Florida statute, 400.0238,
yes.
And that's
right.
If everybody wants to look that up for Florida, and also the 400.0239, Florida statute. It's a quality of long-term care facility improvement trust fund. That's where they had, and I'll brief this story so I can alert the audience out there of how this family got involved with Carol Herman, the president founder of Foundation Aiding the Elderly. Back in, we've been going almost 10 years on this, everybody, and we need some closure, but it doesn't look like it's up yet, so we had to continue
fight. You fought the good fight, Debbie, for quite a few years, your family, and you're to be commended for that. But the knowledge of the punitive damages, we never found out about that until you got the award. And that was 7.5 years later, was it? Almost 8 years that you went through the whole legal system and stood up to the plate and won, and then to find that out. So that, and you know, I'm only going to be on the program for about an hour. So, and I know that you guys, Marty, wanted to talk about other issues. So the Florida issue is huge. We're going to work on that again next year. You'll hear more about that. Obviously, Debbie talks about it. I usually put it in my newsletter. So that bill got killed, and we don't know how that happened. Probably the ACA, which is the department in Florida, probably put the kibosh to that, because they can do that. The department can fight it too.
Yes.
And so they must have gotten to the committee and decided that they weren't gonna back it.
Oh,
so,
you know, it's terrible. It doesn't make sense. And that's four bills, Carol. There was four bills involved for nursing home improvements in the state of Florida that has died in the legislation in the Senate.
And, you know, we talk about these things, this thing in Florida right now, but I just want the listening audience to know that we work all over the country. We have clients in every state. There's an issue in every state. There is, and I can say it because we've filed thousands of complaints. We have served close to 7,000 families all over the country, and I've got the data. I've got the complaints to show it. There is no oversight in this country. There is no oversight. It is such a failure that I consider it no oversight at all. So there's all these millions and millions of dollars that's coming out of the federal funds that are going to all the state agencies, because they're funded by the federal government, to ensure that our most vulnerable citizens that are in nursing homes, so I'm only going to talk about nursing homes, not residential care, assisted living, that's another story. But all this money, which is it's billions of dollars that are going into the state, each state regulators, to pay to have the oversight. And it's an absolute failure. Absolute failure. So, which leads me to the staffing issues. And I don't want to take the majority of the time here, but
Several topics here.
The next topic I wanted to kind of touch base on was the staffing issues in nursing homes. There are laws in every state that says you have to have staffing ratios. You have to have so many nurses, certified nursing assistants, to be able to take care of the residents in these facilities. And so there's a lot of money going to that. There's a lot of legislation on staffing issues. The problem is that, again, I'm going to go back to enforcement. The people have the responsibility in every state to ensure the health and safety of a nursing home resident. They're not enforcing the regulations, and it's very political. So what's happening is that if you don't have enough staff, it's automatic neglect, because you cannot serve the patient if you don't have enough staff to take care of them. And I'll just give you an example of what's going on in California, because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, California's the pace setter. You know, they're the ones that are enforcing regulations, and they're the ones that have everything. We don't. California is terrible, and the staffing alone, the industry, the regulators turn their eye and do not cite for staffing problems. And almost every complaint that we file, we include the lack of staffing. That's what causes the neglect. Well, the regulators go in, and they unsubstantiate our complaints, even though the end result is bed sores, you know, hematomas of the brain, all these horrible things that are happening, but the state never substantiates the lack of staffing. So this year, we got a law passed that they increased the staffing ratios in California. Well, now the industry in California is fighting it, and they want to do waivers, saying that there's not enough, the employment pool is lacking, and they can't find staff, enough staff, to support staffing these facilities to ensure better care. So I'm very involved in the stakeholders. I go to these meetings. I went to the state capitol last week to testify. And what the industry wants to do is they want to have these waivers. So if they can prove that the workforce doesn't have sufficient workforce people in their area to support hiring for nursing homes, that they can have a waiver and they don't have to meet the minimum standards. Well, I went through the roof. Now,
let me ask Carol, a waiver based on what?
That they're saying that the employment pool, in other words, how many nurses are available in this area, how many CNAs are nursing assistants are available in a certain area of California. And if they can go to employment records, EDD, employment development records in California to see, you know, what's the labor force here? And they're saying, well, there's not enough people in the labor force for us to staff. And I said, fine, if you can prove that you don't have enough labor staff in your area to support and hire to take care of the nursing home patient, then you must stop admissions. Very simple, right? Okay, you, Mr. Operator, if you cannot meet the staffing ratios, then don't take any more patients. And state of California, you should not allow them to have new admissions, new people coming from acute hospitals to go into nursing homes. If you don't have enough staff there, you certainly should cut off the admissions. Well, the industry went crazy. They're going to sue the state, yada, yada. But they did mention something that I almost fell off my chair. We have approximately 326 nursing homes in California. The nursing home industry, the lobbyists for the nursing home industry, made a statement that over 600, they anticipate over 600 facilities in California will file for the waiver comes July 1st. That is scary. And it's only going from 3.2 hours to 3.5. That's not a big leap. But yet the industry is going to file waivers for over 600 facilities that they can't meet the staffing ratios. My opinion is they're not staffed now to meet the minimum staff of 3.2, but the state's not sanctioning them, so they're getting away with it. So that's a battle in every state. I think that there's staffing issues in every state, but it's also a big line item on the facility's financial statement. So most of the people that work in nursing homes, top management, they get bonuses.
Yes.
If they can bring the bottom line profit, they get a bonus. Well, cut off the bonuses and
yes.
give the money to, you know, I'm not against people getting bonuses, but I'm against people getting bonuses for poor care and just for getting the bottom line up by not
Carol,
staffing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Up here in Minnesota, when Tim Pawlenty was governor, this is during Bush Cheney, he passed, he shoved it through and then did it by executive order when they fought it, but he shoved it through. Every person who's in a nursing home here that's on Medicare, which is virtually everyone, pays, and Social Security, pays $150 a month right off the top of their income to the state treasury. And everybody.
Well,
and
that's called a shield. I don't know if they call it what they call it in Minnesota, but here, if somebody's on Medicare, only pays for so much, and if the person is long-term care, then it goes to Medicaid.
Right.
And there's a share of cost. If you're a Medicaid patient and the state, you know, I don't know what they pay in Minnesota, but in California they pay something like $3,600, $4,000 a month per bed. And if you're on Social Security, a portion, you have to pay a share of cost of your Medicare benefits, your Social Security. That's
right.
What that $150 might be. I don't know.
But I'll have to look into that, because at the time I didn't understand it. But as you're talking about how this system is set up, made me think about that when they did that. So basically they're getting funding from the feds. They're getting funding through the state, and they can't, and they're allowed to get waivers.
Well, I don't think it's double. Medicare only pays for a certain amount of time when you're in a nursing home.
Yes.
Then Medicaid takes over. So it's the Medicaid that you have a share cost, not the Medicare. Medicare, you don't have a share cost, but you do if you go on the Medicaid. In California, it's called Medi-Cal. Every other state is called Medicaid. So if you're on the Medicaid side, then your Social Security check usually it goes to the facility for a share of cost, and then the patient gets so much money. They're supposed to get a minimum of $35 a month for personal care. But every case is different, because every person in there gets a different amount of Social Security. So it's based on that. Some people have a very low share of cost because they're lower income. People that have higher Social Security checks pay more. Then if you die and there's an estate, somehow there's an estate, then Medi-Cal or Medicaid will lien the estate for you to pay back the money that they paid for your care.
Yes, yes.
So
Carol,
would
you be willing to take a caller? We have a caller here.
Sure.
Okay. Hang on a second here. Area code 740, you're live and on the air with Carol Herman.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Marty. This is Rosanna.
Oh, hi, okay. Rosanna.
Hi. Carol, the last time we talked, I don't know, we got separated from a phone call, whatever, and you were going to tell me about getting medical records. But before we go there, I've got something more important to say. First of all, I'm listening to you about how many people are there to take care of the wards in the facilities. You can go on my web blog, and when my father is loaded on Haldol, my sister's in the room, I'm at home recording this, and my dad is crying out. You can tell he's on drugs. You can just tell it. And he needs to go to the bathroom, and you can hear all this. and Kathy can't get him there by herself. And I said, well, where is everybody? She said, well, there's only one person here, and it's dinner time.
Well, there's a couple problems with that. One, you can't give Haldol to a patient without approval from the decision maker. So I have a real concern if your dad was on Haldol, because that's what killed my aunt 35 years ago that got me to do this work, because the Haldol killed her, and we didn't even know she was getting it. Secondly, they were understaffed, and that should have been reported. I don't know what state you're calling me from, but that should have been reported to the state and where this is happening for insufficient staffing.
I've reported all this. It's in my Ohio Department of Health complaint. It's on my web blog, too, and they did nothing. I'm telling you, I'm a reporter. Marty will tell you. I've written so many, I'm tired of writing. Anyway, I do know he got Haldol. I have some of the Mars sheets from that, but they won't give us all of them.
Well,
so anyway,
is your dad still alive?
No, he's dead now. And that's
How long ago did he die?
He died 2 years ago in November, and right within the two-year period, I filed a wrongful death against all these people, four judges, guardian ad litem, the assisted living place.
Guardian ad litem, was he under conservatorship?
Guardianship.
He was under a guardianship?
They would never give him to me. Yep.
That's just an added problem, you know.
Huh?
That's an added problem under guardianship. That's an added issue here. Somebody had to approve the Haldol.
Yeah, the guardian and
apparently
the doctor.
It was the guardian.
Yeah, the doctor and the guardian, absolutely. So anyway, I've got a list. He was within one year, he was on like 12 or 13 different like psychotropic/pain medicines. We're talking Haldol, Zyprexa, lorazepam, trazodone. It's a bad list.
I'm so jaded because we only get bad calls. He might not have been getting all those drugs. There's a high street value for those drugs.
Yes.
And I said that time after time.
I have the Mars sheets for some of this for like a 7-month window, 8 month, and that's where I got a lot of these off of. And I was licensed to pass meds in DD homes in Ohio, so I know how to fill out those Mars sheets.
You don't know if they're true or not, and I know for a fact that a lot of the drugs go out the back door and they're sold on the street.
Exactly, because they come in bubble wraps, and you ought to see all these packs that are being packed up at the end of the month. They didn't use them all. I mean, it's talk about money.
And here's another scandal on the drugs. I mean, we're kind of jumping around here, but the drugs. If they're a medication that's not like an antipsychotic or not an antidepressant, they can go back to the pharmacy and be resold. And I'm going, wait a minute, they can take one pill and sell it 100 times. But on mind-altering drugs and certain kind of, drugs, and I think this is in every state, when the patient leaves, you're supposed to destroy them. The director of nursing, along with the pharmacy consultant, are supposed to destroy those drugs. And how they destroy them? They flush them down the toilet. Well, pardon me, but I don't believe one word of that.
I used to work in DD homes, so I know about the nurse packing them all up at the end. I know this system that's supposed to happen.
Right.
What really happens?
What really happens is a total different story.
Okay. Rosanna, we need to get back. We have Carol for such a short time, and she had a list of topics she wanted to cover here. Is there anything else?
And Rosanna, please feel free to call my office if I didn't give you right information. We get so many calls here. I didn't recognize you, so. Call my office on Monday, and I'll be able to further help you with the situation with the medical records.
Well, real quickly, and the reason I'm calling in is, and I think people should hear all this stuff, that I filed this wrongful death suit. Now, the living facility has filed a counterclaim on me for vexatious litigation.
Well, of course. Do you have a lawyer?
I got to fight this because I'm telling you, I've got such serious problems with this place he was at. I know there's violations that have been made. You know, you talk about Medicare. You know about the MDS and the Q questionnaires that are supposed to be given, correct?
I know all about that and how they falsify those records to get more money.
Well, what if they're not and with when you're on Medicare / hospice and they have that contract going on, they're supposed to be giving those underneath that. And I don't think my dad was ever given one, yet there's reports that he was trying to kill himself, so they drugged him up.
Well, the problem is, and why don't you should probably call my office on my – the problem
okay,
here,
I
too,
will.
Is that he was under a guardianship. You had no control of anything. He was under a guardianship. That guardian was in control and had to approve everything that went on.
Well,
so
and he's
issue,
in the lawsuit. Don't get me wrong. He's in the lawsuit. But there was a lot of complications with the place that he was
is
living
your lawsuit,
at.
Is your lawsuit pending?
Yes, it's ongoing.
Oh, you,
but they've been this vexatious thing, and now they're trying to – oh, they bumped that up. They said, we're going to wait on the wrongful death so until we decide the vexatious lawsuit.
Okay, well, here's the only advice I'm going to give you, and I know we're on the air, and this is going to be heard. Before you go on the air and start talking about your lawsuit, you better notify your lawyer first. Because you don't want to
I don't
face,
have one.
Oh,
I've had six attorneys do all this. How did they fail all this? So anyway.
Wait a minute. You're representing yourself?
Yeah. I thought of myself.
Oh, okay.
I can send it to you. I mean,
okay.
It's public record. You know,
yeah,
lawsuits.
No, but okay. So.
Yeah, I understand about but these are facts that anybody can find. So right now I'm not telling you anything that.
Right.
You know,
and, you know, that leads into, I was going to talk about antipsychotics and how
yes.
You can't give those kind of drugs without informed consent. And I was on the task force with the CMS in California, the region, in the western region, about lowering antipsychotics in nursing homes. Well, all of a sudden, CMS comes out with these reports that the use of antipsychotics has dropped to darn near nothing. I don't know where
yeah.
they're getting their data, because I don't agree
yeah.
with that at all. So
right.
I, you know, just... The public just needs to be aware what your rights are and how you have the right to approve or disapprove any treatment. If your family member is got dementia and you hold the power of attorney, these facilities can't do anything. They can't give drugs. They can't do any treatment without your approval.
Wow.
So that's another topic that the facilities are doing it without approval, and the family members, they don't know what their rights are. When we publish our newsletter, we have a section, Know Your Rights, and you got to know what your rights are, because if you don't know your rights, you are easy prey to have your family member be victimized by this industry. So go ahead.
Yeah, Carol, I was just going to say, you know, this just came out from the DOJ. They sent out one thing that they were not going to be dealing with guardianship abuse. Then they sent out a big press release about all the stuff they were going to be doing to protect the elderly. But I noted that the words professional fiduciary and attorneys were never mentioned in there.
I'll tell you my take on it.
Okay.
It's because it involves the court. And
mm-hmm.
judges are rubber stamping all these guardianships,
yes.
conservatorships,
yes.
whatever you want to call
yes.
them.
Yes.
It involves the bench. So,
mm-hmm.
no, you know, these judges are, you know, they're you can't hardly ever touch them. So the in California, and I don't know of any other state, about 10 years ago, I worked with the L.A. Times. We did a big expose on conservatorships. And it got the Supreme Court Justice George, who at the time was the presiding judge of the court here, and he put together a task force to look into the court, you know, how are the courts involved in this? And he put a task force together, and they had four meetings in California. I went to two of them, San Francisco and Sacramento. And on the task force are probate judges. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. These are the guys that are sanctioning the conservatorship.
Yeah, there you go.
So you're putting the fox and not talking to the chickens. So
right.
I thought it was very one-sided. They never did anything because nobody wants this because there's a lot of money being made. And I think
you
that
bet.
The courts are very much involved in this. And the judges are sanctioning all these conservatorship, taking the rights away from somebody,
mm-hmm.
taking the rights away from their family, and those
right.
people are stealing all the money.
Right.
You know, they'll go in for a conservatorship and say, oh, well, Mrs. Jones, her family is taking advantage of her, and they're spending her money. Oh, really? Well, I'd rather have the family members steal the money than some third party that doesn't know anybody and doesn't even know their charge, and they take their money.
Well, Carol, this is what I saw in the in this big press release. This whole thing in that S-178 Elder Justice and Protection, that is all about herding more people into these guardianships. And again, absent were the words professional fiduciaries and attorneys.
Right.
It's all focused on the public. We've got another caller here, and I know who this is. 561. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing, sweetie?
Oh, good. I'm enjoying this weather. Right now it's cold. But
yes.
It gets warm in the daytime. Yes. So I want to thank both of you. I want to thank Marty. I want to thank Carol for helping my daughter doing all this work. She stays on that computer, I think, 20 hours out of 24. And I want to thank both of you for doing all the work you've been doing with the elderly people. It's highly appreciated. And I think we need to go to Donald Trump, because he's an elderly man. We need to go to him and show him some of these movies, you know, these videos about these elderly people getting abused, beat up, thrown in the beds, thrown on the floor. You know, somebody's got to do something, because this can't keep going on. It's been going on for too many years.
Well, it's been going on, as far as I'm concerned, since the day that Medicare said we're going to pay for nursing home care.
Yes.
And that's what started up this whole industry, and it saw a bunch of greedy people that went in there. And I'm not saying that every single nursing home in the country is bad. But I
have found
a good
ones. Yes, yes.
I don't know where they are, because I've never gotten a call in 35 years that from anybody that says, I had a wonderful experience in a nursing home and my family member got wonderful care. I've never had that call. So if anybody's listening and that they did have a good experience in a nursing home, then call my office, because I'd like to hear about it. Now, as far as Donald Trump, in my last newsletter that you can see online, I did a feature story on a Vietnam vet. Because of the veterans that are being abused.
Yeah.
Now, this man was not just a veteran. He was a war hero. He had the full burial at Arlington, just like President Kennedy had, with the riderless horse, the carriage, because he was not just a veteran. He was a war hero. And his wife's comment was, I'd rather my husband had died in Vietnam than died from bed sores in a nursing home.
Oh, God.
So we have served a lot of veterans, and I'm putting together a whole package to send to Donald Trump about the veterans who are being abused in nursing homes. They served our country. They come back from, you know, World War II vets, and there's very few of those left now.
Yeah.
Now we're getting the Korean War vets and also the other vets from the Iraq War,
Vietnam,
Bosnia, Vietnam, all of those.
Yep.
And they're dying these horrible deaths in nursing homes. And they are the ones that fought for us and kept our country free. So I am doing that because I know how President Trump cares about the veterans. So I'm hoping...
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Carol, I've done so many shows with the vets on these VA hospitals. It's no better in a VA hospital. Honest to God, the lack of care in these places, and some of them get hundreds of millions of dollars each year.
You know,
it's terrible.
Trump did do something. He did make an edict, as a presidential edict, that – if you work for the Veterans Association or Veterans Administration and you don't do your job, you can get fired now. Donald Trump, President Trump, should put that edict in every single government agency. If you don't do your job, you can get fired. Because that's some of the problems here. You can't fire these government employees. I mean, I did it 35 years ago against the guy that destroyed my complaint on my aunt's death. But that was rare. That was rare.
Yeah.
And... but these people don't get fired. So if you work in private industry and you didn't abide by the regulations or you got in trouble, you're fired. But not with government employees.
No,
Yeah.
We got one more caller here, Carol.
Okay.
954, Faith, you're live and on the air with Carol. Did you have a question or comment for her?
Go ahead.
Hi, Carol. This is Faith. Tim's going to speak for me. Tim?
Carol. I didn't know Faith could bring me in there. I was so interested in listening to what you were talking about.
So this is Faith
Tim
and Tim Plattner? In Florida. Yeah, in Florida.
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah.
Guys. How are you? These are
very
my clients.
Good.
These are my clients calling.
I could go for on about all the stuff you're talking about, but I don't want to break up what you're trying to do right now, Carol. So I really feel that you should just go back into what you're trying to talk about.
Okay. Well, Tim and Faith, they're clients of Faith, and I'm working with the state of Florida on a complaint on behalf of Faith, family member. So he knows the drill. He knows what the state of Florida is doing and how they're, you know, stalling and all that. So I appreciate
all
you guys calling in.
And we wanted to call in to support Debbie, Domina, Marty Oakley, the show, and, of course, you, Carol. And thank you so much, all of you, for what you're doing and enlightening. And with that, we will let you go on with your show. It's very interesting.
Thank you, Faith.
Thank you. The other thing I'd kind of like to talk about are Medicare appeal rights. If you're in an acute hospital or a nursing home, a lot of people do not know that under the Medicare system that you have the right to appeal a discharge. I'm seeing a lot of people that are being discharged before they should be because it's all about the money again. So, there are 5 levels of appeal through Medicare. So if you're a Medicare patient or your family member is a Medicare patient and they're in an acute hospital or a nursing home and they want to discharge your family member and you do not feel that your family member medically should be released because they're releasing people too soon, you have a right to 5 appeals to the Medicare system. Acute hospitals don't want to tell anybody that.
Okay. Carol, I have a question here by email for you, and it's from a lady. We had run a series on Anastasia Adams, who was murdered, medical murder in West Virginia there, or Virginia,
uh-huh.
I'm sorry. And this is an ongoing thing. And her sister, Yolanda Bell, who will be on my panel this year at the summit, fought a monstrous battle trying to get care for her sister. And they did this discharge thing. Medicare's time was up, and they were trying to discharge her sister with this 10-inch blood clot in her arm that they had caused, and she still had pneumonia. She said, no, I won't sign the discharge. The hospital had its own guardianized her. Well, anyway, within about 2 months' time after this, 3 months, maybe a little longer, Anastasia died. They created the medical conditions necessary to call for futility of care, and then they euthanized her is basically what they did. And I'll say that out loud. I take responsibility for that statement, but I've seen all this. But she is trying to get her sister flown back to Sacramento to be buried with her mother and father. And she wanted to know, is there any way to get help?
She's from Sacramento?
Yes. And
okay.
The family, the sister and brother there in Virginia, all government employees or military. The sister that passed away had been a police officer and also in the military. Her care was, Carol, honest to God, it was the most nightmarish thing I have ever seen. She documented every bit of it. And at one point, a broken hip.
So what was her question?
Her question is... is there any way she can get help with getting the medical examiner's office in Sacramento to conduct an autopsy? Because she's unable
to
get it done
the
there.
The sister died in Virginia?
Yes, and she's having the body flown back to Sacramento.
Why
as soon
can't
as they
she
can.
Get the autopsy in Virginia?
Because Inovia is blocking it.
Inovia
Hospital Complex out there and their attorneys and then this guardian...
when somebody dies, the guardianship dies, unless they made somebody the administrator of an estate, and then they have the power to stop anything. What I am concerned about, if you're saying that the hospitals can't get guardianship.
They did.
The court, well, it had to be a person. It can't be a hospital.
Yes, exactly. This is what I'm saying. They have their own guardian on staff. So they just simply got the court order to give this person guardianship of her sister and take it away. She'd been taking care of her for 15 years.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
The court did it.
Yep.
If you have a death certificate that you feel, and that's another thing, I mean, we could talk for hours. I don't know what the cause of death was on the death certificate. I don't know if she could allege elder abuse. I don't think that she could have a body sent here and have an autopsy done without paying for it. I don't know if she can
afford
to pay for it.
Yeah,
you know, there's
exactly.
another problem
I think
there.
Their question was, you know, if it could be done, you know, finances would be something else.
I have not heard of that.
Okay.
I think you can hire a pathology group to do an autopsy.
Right.
It doesn't have to be the coroner. But
right.
again, I've got a case in Texas right now that the family got a pathologist because the death certificate was erroneous. Now we're fighting with the doctor to change the death certificate because we've got the proof through an autopsy by a private pathologist. But it was expensive. It was almost $4,000 to do an autopsy.
Yeah, right.
So I would suggest, you know, maybe that person, Anastasia, could call my office on Monday too.
Well, Yolanda, it's Yolanda Bell. And
I'm sorry, Yolanda.
It was her sister who passed. It was
an
absolutely gruesome thing. But yeah, I'll give her your information and she can speak directly with you and, you know, fill you in more than what I am able to hear on air.
Sure.
Okay. Carol, could you talk, did you have other things on your list there that you wanted to address?
I was going to do staffing issues, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The antipsychotics, well, they're all huge. You know, your appeal. I think the appeal rights are so important because people don't know they have. People don't know what their rights are, and they get into the hospital medical environment and they feel intimidated, and rightfully so because the medical professional will intimidate you. Like, they'll say, "Well, where'd you get your medical degree?" You know, so I think the general public will have a better. Protection to protect their rights if they know what those rights are, and they'll be able to better challenge the medical industry if they know what their rights are.
Okay, we got another caller, Carol. Area code 619. Do you have a question or comment for Carol?
This is a comment. Hi, Carol. This is Marianne. How are you doing?
Hi, Marianne.
Hello. My comment regarding your rights is that if you know the rights in your state, you know, like in California, the rights for a nursing home or California Code of Regulation 72527, if you memorize those, if they give you grief about it, you just say, well, I understand under this code, these are my rights to accept or refuse any treatment. They will back off. I've had that happen with loved ones in hospitals and nursing homes, and once you mention that, they will back off. And another thing that's important is don't use your landline with them. Only use a cell phone. I know a lot of people just have a cell phone now. But in my case, what the nursing home and the doctor when my dad went to the hospital is that she falsified consent forms saying that it had been obtained over the phone. And if you have your cell phone, then you can get copies. You can go online and get copies of your calls for the last year for free, whereas you can't. It takes an act of Congress to get your landline records. But for your cell phone,
point, Marian. That's a good point, Marian.
Yeah, and you can prove if you were contacted, and I did that with a doctor in my case, especially when she had falsified a DNR at the hospital and got her in trouble with the medical board for falsification. Unfortunately, it was after the death of my dad, and I learned all this stuff. I learned a lot through Carol and what a black box drug was, for example, all through you, Carol. So you were invaluable at teaching me the ropes of how to go about it. About this. But those are my comments on helping to keep yourself safe.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you for calling. Just boy, Carol, mention again about Know Your Rights and where it's located on your page, what your page is.
Oh, well, our website is www.4 fate, FATE.org. And we have information there about your rights. And also, we publish all of our newsletters online that we, send out to our user base, our customer, our client base. And there's a section there, it's usually on page 7 of all of our newsletters, that says Know Your Rights. This last one, we did one on pressure sores and room transfers, right to leave a facility, and the discharge appeal. Discharge appeals is big. It really is.
Yeah.
You got to know that. They just can't send your family member to wherever they want. California also has a law, if any Californians are listening, that if you're on the Medicaid, if you're under Medicaid, and if there's a law in California, you can't even send a patient 30 miles out of the radius of their home. So I challenge that all the time, because people that are on trachs, they've got this post-acute now. So if your acuity level is not high enough to be in an acute hospital, it's not high enough to be in an acute hospital, but low enough, I'm sorry, I got that backwards, high enough not to be in a nursing home, but low enough not to be in an acute hospital, now there's these things called post-acutes. So it's an in-between. Well, there aren't that many. They're popping up now all over. So what I'm finding is that somebody's in an acute hospital and they tell the family, oh, well, your husband's on a trach and there's no facilities in this area to take him because he's a special needs patient. So we're going to have to send him to Los Angeles. Could be 400 miles away. That's illegal if the person is on Medi-Cal. In California, Medicaid is called Medi-Cal. So they're trying to do it because people don't know what their rights are. So it's very important to know what your rights are. And if you feel that FATE's web page doesn't have sufficient coverage to know all your rights, then go to the Medicaid and plug in, rights of patients and just know what your rights are when you are in these places, even acute hospitals.
Okay. Because, see, this is even stuff with all the stuff I've looked at, Carol. This is stuff that you're telling me a lot of things even I didn't know. And people do need to know their rights. And
oh,
I also read it. Maybe you could add a little bit to this. I had read on, a patient's bill of rights that if they are receiving money, like they do through Medicare, they're receiving money, they cannot restrict your visitation. They cannot. Nobody can.
No.
And yet they do it all the time. Now, is that correct?
Right, because people don't know what their rights are. No matter how you're paying, private pay, Medicare, Medi-Cal, Medicaid, there's a federal law, and I can't quote it right now because I don't have it in front of me, but there's a law that says nursing home, especially in nursing homes, acute hospitals aren't so bad. They don't really restrict too much. But in nursing homes, there's a federal law that states there are no visitation hours for family members. The hours that they post, visitation hours, 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 and 9, or whatever they are, that applies to the general public. That does not apply to a family member. Family members have the right to access a nursing home to see their family member 24/7.
Bless your heart, and thank you for that. Now, see, I didn't know that either. I did know about the bills, patients of rights. And in one nursing home I went into here in Minnesota, they had it posted, and I was going in with a family member at the time, and they stopped her, is actually who they stopped, and prevented her from going on, and said the guardian had prohibited it. And I asked, I said,
oh,
well,
wait a minute. There's the magic word again, though.
Yes.
Guardian.
Yeah.
See, these
and
guardians
all that,
get in
yes.
there. Yeah, and they're in total control. So I can't fault the nursing home for that because
right.
of the fact that the guardian is the one preventing the visits. If there's no guardian involved making decisions, then the family members have the right to access 24/7.
Okay. All right, so let me get this correct. If there's a, this would mean then that, like in these cases, Mary Bush, for example, where she was threatened with trespass and arrested, even though she, just for trying to visit her mother, and she was outside the building when they did
now,
it.
Now, this is not a guard, isn't it? I kind of, is this a guardianship, though?
Yes, it is now, yes.
See? I mean, that's the problem, Marty. Is
yes.
If a guardian takes over, and that's why they're, you know, trying to get guardians involved, because guardians will do whatever the hospitals want or whatever the nursing homes want. They won't do what's in best interest. They're appointed by the court, and
right.
They're going to abide by what the facility says. Not, and they'll make up all these rules and prevent the family members when they have the absolute right to do that because they're appointed by the court. And that's where the problems are. The problems, when you have guardianships, yep. It goes to the court.
Well, and that's just
it's
what
scary.
I've maintained all along, is that everything pivots around that hearing examiner that we call a judge in probate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still reading,
Carol. I call it the probate
yes.
mafia.
Yes, and that's exactly what this is, a racket that's running. And all of
it
this
is.
Pivots around that person sitting on that bench.
Exactly.
And that's the facilitator. That's who makes sure that things go the way they're planned. And I think, Carol, one of the things that hits people that is just overwhelming for them is they think they know the law. They think they know their rights. They think they know how the justice system works. And they get into these administrative tribunals, which are not courts of law. This is statute, code, and regulation. Have nothing to do with your constitution or your rights. And they are hit with this overwhelming wall of corruption. And many times...
Oh, yeah, it's pretty scary.
Anymore, it is so blatant and out in the open, they don't care if you know, who knows. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And
I always tell people that, you know, that have situations, and I've got about a couple minutes, and I hate to do this, but... I can only be on an hour today. But I kind of instruct, you know, or kind of coach some of the clients that I get that if they feel that the judges are making these terrible decisions and it impinges on the health and safety of their family member under these conservatorships, that they should file. Every state has something called judicial review. The only way you can get a judge is to file an action against the judge for with judicial counsels that are in the states. Every state has a judicial – they
yeah.
might be called different. In California, it's called California Judicial Council. So you file a complaint against the judge, and the judicial counsel well, – of course, they can pick and choose too. They go
yes.
in and review what happened in the court. And if they feel that the judge made a bad decision, blah, 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 then they can take action against the judge. But it doesn't happen very often. But that's the only
yeah.
way that a person could go against a judge's decision is to file an action complaint through judicial counsel.
Yeah.
So with that,
okay.
with that I have to end my hour with you. I look forward to coming back on the program again. And if anybody listening wants to call my office, please do that, 916-481-8558, and we'll do everything we can to help you.
Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the program again, and congratulations to you and Debbie on your 1,000th program. Wow, that's really quite a feat.
It's about killed me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, well, thank you again for having me on the program. And
thank you, Carol.
Call upon me again anytime.
All right. All right.
Thank you.
A good evening.
Thank you.
Good
night.
Okay. Where are you? Deb? And you see she's nowhere to be found. Here I am sitting here all by myself, and she is nowhere to be found. I hope a lot of you caught on to that. We have been talking on other shows about setting up these citizens' oversight committees. And because, as Carol said, you have to go to these judicial oversight boards, and you file your complaint, and it gets swept under the rug because these are unions. These are the whole thing from top to bottom. The judicial system has been taken over by this, what a lot of people are calling the the legal mafia. It has been monopolized. Every courtroom you step into is actually a closed union shop. And this is why even in tribunals, they will tell you or order you to hire an attorney, hire one of their union members to get in there. No, you don't have to do that. But I've got another guest coming on here in the next week or so, I hope, who's going to be talking at length about why you should not file pro se. That's a trap. And she has another term that's used. When you file pro se, according to her, and I'm going to loosely quote this, you are basically saying you are standing in there and you accede to their demands, their rules, their regulations. When you come in pro se, there is another term you use that says, I reject this and I want to go into the common law. So we're going to be talking about that on another show. Deb, are you there?
Yes, I am, Marty. And everybody, we're going until 9:30 on the show, so if you want to call in with any comments or questions, phone number is 917-388-4520, press 1, and we'll let you in, and that number is 917-388-4520, press 1. Just try to refrain any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, toilets.
Yeah, Dahmers.
Steve Dahmer, my brother, if you're out there listening, you know what we're talking about. So he is listening. Because he texted me that he was. But I want to give a big shout out and thank you for Lois Newman out there, Marty's sister, for listening in tonight. And also my brother, my family, my mother calling in. And a big thank you to Deb Padovano. She's my press agent for Voices Care for Animals. Thanks, Deb. You're getting a break from getting suspended from Facebook for sharing so fast.
You guys get put in Facebook jail more than anybody. You're both a couple of Facebook criminals. You know that.
That's it. But she hasn't been suspended lately, so she's probably getting a break. And me.
Yeah, there you go.
We're jail inmates together.
There you go. You guys get suspended more than anybody I ever saw. It's just incredible.
I know. It's ridiculous, you know. I mean, yeah. In the groups, at the beginning of the year, I got thrown off Facebook. It was like, Happy New Year, you're kicked off Facebook. Well, somebody turned me in for impersonation, said it wasn't me.
Now, who in the hell would impersonate you? Now we know for sure there's crazy people out there. But it just... but, yeah.
They just think it was me, so yeah. It's crazy. It's always something, man. Right? You know, it's like one thing after the other. Does anything ever run smooth?
Yeah.
So my brother out there, if you want to call in, you can. Just 917-388-4520. Just try to be on your best behavior.
Please. The last time you were on, Steve, we thought we were sitting in Niagara Falls.
We'll have that show tomorrow night, and everybody, 1,000 shows, Marty, over what, 8 years, Marty? And congratulations.
We'll start our 8th year July or June 10th.
Wow, that's a lot of shows. And everybody, spread the word, join in us on the show tomorrow night because it's going to be special. And thank Marty for all she's done, getting her voice out there. She's a great partner and a great voice and like family to me. And she's helped me out so much, showed everything, all I know about the radio. And I can't thank her enough. She's created this big radio monster advocate for the animals and the healthy and everything else out there. And
don't know if I should feel good about that or feel like...
We ought to have a comedy show too, the Marty and Deb laughing.
There you go. Call it the drive-by.
We probably hit the top charts. Because we know human beings are the roots to all problems.
Yes. They are, except us, of course.
Except
we're not.
But we speak out, and everybody has to get to the show tomorrow night. The promo is going to be on the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me. And it will be, if you want it delivered right to your primary email, press follow on the side of the PPJ Gazette. Also on Blog Talk Radio, follow on right across from Marty's name, and it will be delivered to your primary email. All these shows are archived, so you can listen and share 24/7. Just go to blogtalkradio.com and put in TS Radio. You can put in Marty Oakley or Debbie Dahmer, and all these shows will pop up. And Marty, almost what, 1,000 of them. So
it's 1,000 tonight.
Yes.
Was 1,000.
Oh,
so we'll do the big one tomorrow night. Yeah, and we've covered everything over these 7 years, from the effects of illegal immigration, and that is not from a racist standpoint, but the devastation it caused economically, like here in Minnesota. I'm all for the dreamers, but why didn't you start dreaming while you were at home? You couldn't blow me out of my country for nothing. I'd stand here and fight to death over it. I don't know what makes people leave. You have to stand up. We got a caller there, Deb.
Right. Yeah, okay, Marty, we might hang up on this caller. I don't know. We'll have to check it out. You're live and on the air, area code 561. Go right ahead. You're live. You got any questions or comments for Marty or I, or Carol Herbert, because she's gone, but she'll, well, you know, go ahead.
Hello?
He fell.
Yeah, go
Hello?
Ahead. It's my brother.
Yeah, this is me calling from Niagara Falls.
Thank God it ain't raining up there.
I'm calling this from Belgium.
Well, it's
is this the PPJ Gazette show?
It could be.
This
you
is
don't know.
Live from the PPJ Gazette.
Yes.
Oh, I'm live?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I just opened the lid. I didn't know I was live.
No. Oh, open one lid. Or did you lose your lid?
Oh, good Lord.
Well, I wanted to call in and thank Carol Herman for all that she's done and all the work she's done with my sister, and keep up the good work. We'll keep fighting the good fight.
Yes.
Thank you, Marty, for all that you do. It's very appreciated by the family. We're all sitting
there
listening.
Yeah, it's nice to have you all on again. We've done this, a couple times before, where we had the whole Dahmer clan on.
The good Dahmer.
Yeah, the good
Dahmer.
Yeah,
we got to make that clear.
Yeah.
We tried
to see Dahmer calling in, not Jeffrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the good Dahmers, Marty. You know.
Yeah, the good Dahmers, yeah. And it doesn't make you wonder, though, about that name, because... I mean, one was a cannibal, and you guys are crazy.
Well, we can't get nobody to come to our house for barbecues. What's for dinner?
What's
next?
Hey, but you know what? You know what? All of us together. you're killing her, man. You're killing her at a slow rate of speed.
You guys said for me to call in. It's like, are you ready for this or what?
That's just fine. This made me cry on my own show. Damn it.
Does anything ever work smooth?
Oh.
I got tears coming down my eyes. I can't even take it.
If you was anywhere close, you'd have two black eyes. I just. Oh.
Hey, Marty.
This is how many times you guys have got me on there. Hell, you almost made me jump through the phone a couple of years ago on Elder Abuse Awareness Day with Joe Rubicek. And they got me a couple other times, and you guys are scary.
I don't see how she puts up with me.
I don't either. I don't know what made me do this.
Yeah, you got involved with the crazy Dahmer.
There you go. That's what I say. This ain't looking good for that name.
Marty, I try to save people, not eat them. You know what I mean?
There you go.
I mean, yeah. So many people through my life are like, "Oh, your last name is Dahmer." Yes. And don't compare me to him, because I'm not him.
Exactly.
You know?
Holy cow.
You wait till the bar night show. This is going to be a good one, because I'm going to get you a good surprise. You're in for tomorrow night. I'll be on my best behavior
tonight. Oh, yeah, like you
didn't
kill me tonight.
Yeah. Hey, you know that
good
one
Lord.
Song? You remember the Addams Family? Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. It's the Dahmer family.
And you'd be Morticia, I'm assuming. Good Lord. I don't know.
How many minutes we got left?
We have got 13 minutes left.
Okay. And everybody out there, thanks for tuning in, because, you know, we need all the help we can get out here, you know, with all these problems. And then I'm going to tell this story short so everybody knows. Back in 08, my father, George Dahmer, a.k.a. former pro wrestler Chief White Owl, was involved in a wrongful death case. He had run away from home. He was Baker acted. Then they wanted to put him in the hospital. They put him in the hospital. And then later on in a nursing home for 120 days and then supposed to return home. Well, everybody, the horrific news is he never did return home. And that's the sad part. He wrestled for 32 years for WWF, which is now WWE. He wrestled from the late 50s to the early 80s. He was very well known with the feathers and the war paints, and you know, he was the king of the tomahawk chop. And not only that, he was Chief White, but he was George Dahmer, a wonderful, caring, loving father. You know, he loved his fans, his family, his friends. I mean, he was just awesome, and that's why I'm staying up in this family fighting so hard today, because it's going to be a 10-year anniversary, May 23rd of 2018. And this is, you know, the compensatory damages are done. Joe Landy of Lesser Landy and Smith, he did a great job on this case. He won all the way until we hit a curveball. My father was diagnosed with when we demanded him out at nursing home. This was after 62 days. He walked, talked, fed himself. And when he left the nursing home where this family demanded him out, he couldn't talk, walk, or feed himself. He turned into a total vegetable. He had to be transported to the other nursing home by ambulance. And so we've seen some horrific nightmares happen. The second nursing home diagnosed him as with bed sore stage 4 down to the bone. My mother and I, we seen him. I was taking pictures for the attorney. I was crying so hard I couldn't think straight. I thought my mother was going to go through a nervous breakdown. They diagnosed malnutrition, dehydration, lost 32 pounds in 8 weeks. Both of his rotary cuffs were turned on both shoulders where they dropped him and didn't notify the family until 4 days later. On the bottom of his feet where they put the wrong size shoes on him, size 8, when he wears a 10. He developed decubitus ulcers on them. We're almost an inch deep on each one. We're later on at the hospital before he passed away. They wanted to amputate both feet. And I thought my mother, all of us, was going to have a nervous breakdown at JFK Hospital when they told us that horrific news. They had him so over-medicated he didn't even know where he was at. So, everyone, I'm standing here fighting today. We can't fight. You know, we can't bring my father back. We only wish we could. But, oh, this is for all of us now going into our now and our futures and for the generations coming up. So let's get justice here and fight this because June of 2015, my mother was notified that she had to pay 50% of the punitive damages awarded by the jury to help improve the quality of care in nursing homes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so injustice and so inhumane because the amount was $350,000 to help improve the quality of care in nursing homes. My father doesn't deserve this. I mean, we wasn't charged with wrongful death and falsifying records back in November of 2012. They're the ones that put him where he's at today. And there's a lot of greed going on out there, profit before people, and it's sickening. These greedy nursing home owners need to step down and think of how the people who got them there take care of people before profit, because there's so many greed bullies out there today that it's sickening. They're doing profit before people, profit before animals, and it's totally uncalled for. So please, everyone, this bad news we just heard on these in the Senate, or the Florida Senate legislation, that these punitive damages that I've started and went to contact and Carol Herman and Marty got involved, Representative Amber Marino, Senator Gary Farmer. This list is a Jeff Porter lobbyist, and it has failed. It's died in the Senate, along with all these nursing home improvements. And I'm going to give you them. They're on the PPJ Gazette. There is a list of them, and all of them have failed. They're died. And this is for nursing home improvements that, you know, contact Governor Rick Scott and say, why is these nursing home improvements have died in legislation? Senate Bill 896, Nursing Home and Related Health Care Facilities, a general bill by Gary Farmer. Effective date was supposed to be July 1st of 2018. 1-9 of 2018, Senate introduced SJ-68. There's four of them here with these punitive damages, these Senate bills that are they're talking about the punitive damage, but going each way, a different way. The second one is Senate Bill 1260, died in the legislation, nursing home and assisted living facilities. General bill by Senator Stargell. Effective date, July 1st, 2018, introduces Senate SJ-146. And you can contact these senators and let them know how, you know, this is wrong and why.
Deb,
who is, yeah, go ahead.
Go to opensecrets.org and
okay.
Type in your state and those bill numbers, and then click the tab that says Money Trail. And it'll tell you what each.
Let me write this down, Marty. I got to write this down.
Okay.
Yes.
It's called OpenSecrets.org. And you can check out.
OpenSecrets.org.
Mm-hmm. And you can check out any bill on their Senate or House and any state and also federally. And you have to put in your state and then put the bill number in. And it will tell you, then click the Money Trail tab, and it'll tell you who all took money from the nursing home associations and the guardianship associations and this one and that one to kill these bills. And then what I would do is I wouldn't stop there. I would publish, and we'll publish it on the PPJ and blow it everywhere, a list of all of the senators and representatives that voted against these bills. Voted to kill them. But this is Florida. This is who's working against you. And this is who they took money from.
It's
all about
money, Marty. It's sickening. It's greed, boys. I mean, it's just, you know, and just like this Senate Bill 1408, Nursing Home Liability, general bill by David Simmons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I have contacted all of them and gave them my opinion. It was introduced as SJ-165. I said, why is all of this, all these Senate bills, four of them, which contains the punitive damages, you know, that was awarded by the jury to help improve the, you know, to help improve the quality of care in nursing home. That's not our fault. We didn't cause his mistakes. And they, the one of them said, oh, there's a lot of bills this year, just what we couldn't get to it. Well, what, well, excuse me, if I go look at some of these other bills that don't matter, and on top of this, we have some concern here. And then there's a Senate Bill 1596. Senator Linda Stewart, she had it on there where 60% goes to the state and 40% to the claimant. So she was trying to switch it around, you know, to worse. So
the other thing you want to look at is how many of these senators and representatives that voted to kill this are also bar members.
See, because there's so much corruption, Marty. It's, it's disgusting. Greed and you know, corruption and lies and cover-ups. You know, these voted against this. They must not think they're going to get old or be in a nursing home or whatever. So who would, like any business out there for improvements, everybody's, you know, just like the nursing homes in Hollywood, that that Hurricane Irma, 14 people died. There's a hospital across the street.
Isn't that something?
It was hot. It was hot in the news. But all of a sudden, we got so much going on, school shooting, this happens, that happens. And all of a sudden it gets kicked to the back burner and you don't hear about it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the sad part, because that's our attention span. We're not focusing enough on these very serious issues, you know? This is what happened to my mother. And anybody out there that's going to get punitive damages, it's going to happen to them too. So we have to fight at some point in time.
Why can't we file punitive damages against our own state legislatures that fail to act to protect the public, that fail in their public duty? Why can't we sue the whole legislature and they claim state immunity? You don't have any such immunity. You have only the power given you by the people, and we do not consent. We do not consent.
Right.
And we've only got a couple minutes here, Deb.
Okay,
I'm
Steve,
hoping everybody.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, Steve, and thanks for being a nice guy tonight. And
we'll have to give him a treat.
But in addition to all of this, I want to remind everybody on Tuesday nights is Hospice, Medical Murder and Kidnap, a show we're running. And I'm telling you, the response to this is absolutely huge. And it goes right along with what we're talking about tonight. These nursing homes, in conjunction, and most especially hospice, is now in the business of euthanizing the elderly. You have a right to revoke hospice. You have a right to leave hospice anytime you want to, and no one can force you in there, not even a guardian. And but what they're doing is they're putting people in there that don't necessarily belong there. Then they begin immediately starving and dehydrating them and create the conditions that call for futility of care. Now we are in terminal sedation, and eventually somebody called a closer comes in and gives the kill shot. In the year 2010, the most recent statistics I've been able to find so far, 2.5 million people on Medicare died. 80% of them were in hospice. And this was the first year they came out.
Wow.
In 2014, Obamacare became fully functional. October 2014, hospice got an $11.5 billion infusion of cash to go from Good Samaritan to what we now call the Grim Reaper. It is no longer, there are small chapters that are okay, but you get in these big state and federal, stay out of there, stay away from there. But you need to listen to that. We have had more than 1,000 responses to that show with documentation. We've only got 90 seconds here, Deb.
Thank you, Marty, and we'll be on air tomorrow night, you guys, and please can you call in. We're going to celebrate this 1,000th show for her, and I hope Deb Coffey is going to call in too, Marty, from Wild Horse and Borough Radio.
Yeah, a lot of people want to call in, so
yes.
we'll probably, I don't know how long we'll do this, but we'll figure it out. We've only got a few
okay.
minutes here. Thank you, everybody that called in this evening with your questions, and
thank you
most
Marty.
Especially.
Thank you,
Steve. And thanks to Carol Herman for giving
yes.
us an hour
yes.
of her time. That woman is so busy. We'll be back. We'll be back. That's all I can tell you. We'll see you on
thank
Monday
you,
night
Marty.
With Abolishing Probate. And
thank
you, Deb.
Thank you, everybody,
it was
for tuning
being
in.
On again.
Yeah. That was the show tomorrow night, Marty. Surprise!
Right.
I'll have some good for you.
Oh, you scare me. You really do. I
the
think
Dahmer
I just peed
family.
Myself.
And the Dahmer family. Da 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 da. Da da da.
We're coming to get you.
I think you already did.
Da 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 da. Da, da, da.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, no.
Night, Marty.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, Marty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. DS Radio.
Good
bye-bye.
Night.
Good night.